On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8pm and it's Phoenix 98 FM and it's On The Ropes. Hope everyone is healthy and enjoying the weekend. How was your week, Charlie?
Very well, bro, very well. I had a few days off. It was the little one's birthday earlier in the week, so, you know, didn't go anywhere really due to lockdown. The odd trip to the park, you know, shop, sweets, etc. Then back home, you know, riveting stuff.
Riveting, exciting stuff. But it is always nice to, you know, recharge the batteries and have a few days off with your loved ones, I'm sure.
Absolutely, bro, absolutely. Yeah, so, yeah, back in the groove now. And yeah, what a great weekend of boxing to discuss.
We've got a cracking show lined up for you this week. We've got special guest, former professional boxer Grant Skill, who's now keeping the punters happy with his East End bagels and his pie mash down in Billericay. All that to look forward to in part two. But as always, seconds out, part one. Charlie, news and views as always of the week. Lots to discuss. Plenty of boxing, you know, news out there. Firstly, news announced that Willie Hutchinson will face Lennox Clark now for the vacant British and Commonwealth Super Middleweight titles on the Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur card. Now, that comes on December the 5th. Frank Warren has said that he has amicably split with Leron Richards, who was ordered to face Hutchinson, but he's decided to vacate his belt and sign with Matchrooms. Now, Charlie, a bit of a surprise for me, this one. I know he's in with David Caldwell now, and he's now training him. You know, a strange timing of this. Clearly, Hutchinson was a big risk, right? That's what it would appear to me, that, you know, that Hutchinson fight was a big risk for Leron Richards.
Yeah, but you could look at it two ways, Mark. Leron Richards, you know, you don't know how, you know, how impressed he was with Frank Warren. Was he getting the right exposure? Caldwell is, I'm not saying he's, you know, linked to Matchroom, but he's had a lot of boxers feature on the Matchroom platform. So have they decided, you know, together, strategy moving forward, you know, go with Matchroom, they'll give you more exposure. Clearly he thinks he's more or less done domestically, hence why he's vacated, and he's looking to step up onto the world stage. You know, certainly, he was part of the bubble, wasn't he, before the Ben fight? And I heard him on the Matchroom platforms talking about the European title next, you know, and going through the stages. So who knows, was it, you know, I can only assume he wasn't happy with Frank Warren.
Yeah, I mean, you could well be right, and maybe Warren wasn't delivering those big paydays. He has recently, his wife had a baby, so, you know, not been too active this year. Leron Richards is a bit of a talent, but I just felt that Hutchinson fight could have really elevated him to the next level if he beat Hutchinson, because, you know, both are undefeated, both are very good prospects. But look, at the end of the day, he's decided to go with Matchroom. Yes, that could have been David Caldwell, obviously with his connections with Eddie Hearn, and he's on to pastures new.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, you could say, don't get me wrong, Hutchinson would be a dangerous fight, Mark, but you could argue that that is a domestic fight, really. And if Richards wants to move on, then he's not interested in domestic fights. I think he's already beat Lennox Clark. So, you know, he's not interested at that level anymore. That's the impression I'm getting. And he wants to move on. So, you know, and obviously with the addition to his family, you know, that spurs you on to succeed even more, doesn't it? So he wants to crack on and head towards a European level. So fair play to him. And I hope, you know, Matchroom can give him that exposure and get him to where he wants to get to.
The WBO this week have now ordered Joe Smith Jr. versus Maxim Vlaskov for the vacant WBO light heavyweight title. Both fighters are working in conjunction with Top Rank, and the winner could face the WBC and the IBF champion Arthur Beterbiev in a three-belt unification. Now, this for me, Charlie, did come as a bit of a surprise because obviously Anthony Yard has been in there already with Kovalev at this level. I thought Anthony Yard might have got the nod there for Joe Smith, personally. I mean, I know he's got that Lyndon Arthur fight coming up, but I would have liked to have seen Anthony Yard back in the mix at world level.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. I think Anthony Yard would have been too dangerous right now for Smith Jr. I mean, you know, Maxim Vasilov, he's not great, Mike. He is not a great boxer. He's come up from cruiserweight. He's had a couple of, you know, he lost to Glowacki at cruiserweight. And his only notable, really, you know, anyone you could say on the world level was Isaac Chimbella, you know, who lost to Kovalev in the past. You know, he's the only real test. And he beat him in Russia over a year ago. He's been very inactive. He's not been active. You know, last November was his last fight. So, I fancy Smith Jr. here. I really do. And then the winner goes on, like you say, Beterbiev, right, in a unification fight. That's the plan. So, you know, but I think Smith Jr. takes this one. I really do, quite convincingly.
Yeah, and Smith Jr. has really proved his worth as well, hasn't he? I mean, you know, a bit of a blue-collar boy, really. You know, not heavily backed by the US public, but I think if he goes and wins that world title, I think the American public and boxing fans will start to warm to this guy.
No, I do. Like, what I've seen of him so far, I've been pleasantly surprised. And yeah, he's a come forward fighter. He'll scrap, you know, in a car park for nothing, but for a belt, you know. And as you said, you know, it elevates him up for that unification fight. I think, yeah, there's only one winner there, in my opinion.
Well, maybe Yard does get another crack at it from the winner after the unification fight. You know, that would be mouth-watering to see Yard up there. But Yard has to take care of domestic business, let's face it. And the likes of Lyndon Arthur are a real threat now to Yard. So he needs to dispose of him, obviously, in December, and then hopefully move back to that world level. What about this for the end of the year? News announced this week, Canelo Alvarez versus Callum Smith is on. What a brilliant fight to round off what's really been a difficult year for the boxing game. Smith gets his shot at the ultimate glory, whilst Canelo has the opportunity basically to become a four-weight world champion. No messing about whatsoever from Canelo. It's his first fight as a free agent. I mean, hats off to him, Charlie. Hats off to Canelo for taking this fight. You know, it's likely to be Texas. I think the date that we're looking at is December 19th, but I mean, come on. What a finale to 2020. You know, a pandemic hit year, and I don't expect fans to be there, or maybe a small audience, but I'm so looking forward to this one.
Can't wait, Mark. Cannot wait. This has the potential to be the fight of the year. It really does. And I don't think the US public really know a lot about Callum Smith. Obviously, we do over here. He could be awkward. He could be really awkward for Canelo. I do fancy Canelo, but I do think that, you know, Callum Smith will surprise a lot of people with his, you know, with his heart and his awkwardness and his strength. He's very strong. But a great, great fight. And I think, Mark, also that will be under the new DAZN UK. They're going online subscription. And I think that's part of the special offer, £1.99 a month. And that's due to go live in December, fight fans. So if you haven't already, have a little look on the DAZN website. You can set yourself up for subscriptions. So when that does go live, make sure you take notice of that special offer and lock yourselves in. £1.99 for that fight, mine all day long.
Even Charlie will part with £2 just for that
talking
subscription.
Talking about £2, you owe me a fiver from last night. We had a bet.
Of course we did, didn't we? Yeah, yeah. So I fancied Conor Benn to knock Formella out, didn't I? So, yeah, I'll pay for your subscription now for 2 months.
For 2 months.
Disappointing news to break this week, and the British Boxing Board of Control have said that they are extremely disappointed and surprised, and me too, Charlie, that boxing isn't included in the government's £300 billion bailout package to help sports impacted by the pandemic to survive without spectators. They added that they will be contacting the Minister for Sport for clarity. I mean, this does seem harsh to me, as boxers haven't received salaries, obviously, during this pandemic, and they're only paid to fight. Really, really surprised by this decision.
I'm flabbergasted by that. I mean, it's not just the professional game. What about the grassroots? You know, the amateur game, you know, I know the Olympics, you get a lot of funding for the elite boxers, but what about the grassroots boxers? You know, those local gyms, those kids, those people that are working, you know, whether or not you're, you're working in the gym, or, you know, you're an admin worker helping that particular club, you know, youth club, etc., you know, whatever. I mean, come on. You know, we've all been hit hard by the pandemic. Let's try and look after all sports, not just, you know, cherry pick a few. It leaves a bad taste, it really does. And then what about the future? You know, if how are we going to sustain the sport? How are we going to get these young lads into the sport if the, you know, if the money's drying up?
Well, hopefully that will be contested and it is overturned. I really do for the game. You know, harsh decision there made by the government. This fight has finally been rearranged. Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell for the WBC interim title at lightweight is now going to take place on January 2nd. Originally last week, Charlie, we thought it could have been a bit of UK versus Mexico, December 19th, Canelo. And obviously Garcia versus Smith and Campbell would have been nice to see, but it is now looking like January 2nd for Garcia versus Campbell.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of them was unwell. Was it Campbell that was unwell, right? Was it COVID? There was talk about COVID, yeah. So, well, first and foremost, it seems like he's made a recovery, which is great. And then, you know, it gives both boxers that additional time to really, really ramp up training and make sure they're fully fit, which I'm sure they will be. And again, another fight, Mark, that, you know, obviously into 2021 could be, you know, a great opener fight for that year. So 2021, you know, those two guys going at it, again, cannot wait for that one.
Absolutely. One fight that is off, next Friday's fight with Demetrius Andrade. He was due to fight on the Jacobs versus Rosado undercard, has now reportedly been scrapped. It's said that Dusty Hernandez Harrison tested positive for coronavirus, and no replacement has been found. So Andre won't be back in action. I think he was just looking to dust the cobwebs off. You know, potentially, we're looking at some point, potentially Billy Joe Saunders.
Or Liam Williams.
Or Liam Williams.
It's got to be Liam
Williams. It's got to be Liam Williams, actually, because he's vacated his British titles. Yeah. You would like to think that Liam Williams could be in there for a world title chance against Demetrius Andre. But that fight next week is not taking place.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say to that one. He seems to run from a lot of people, Andre, but I think inevitably he can't run any further away from Liam Williams. That fight has to happen, Mark. And it probably, as you said there, you know, with Williams vacating now at domestic level, clearly he must be onto the world levels, and hopefully he gets his chance, because I do think Liam Williams could really upset the apple cart, and I think he could take that world title.
Yeah, he's a real talent, Liam Williams, and he's certainly impressed domestically now for a good few years, since he obviously lost that world title, well, two world title attempts, wasn't it, against Liam Beefy Smith. But I think he is now ready, certainly, to become a world champion. And I can certainly see him, I can see him taking that belt from Andre. I think he's a much, much, much improved fighter. And I'd love to see him in there for a world title chance very, very soon. Obviously, another fight that was announced in the early hours of this morning, Sergei Kovalev at light heavyweight versus Sullivan Barrera, is now reportedly being eyed for January 30th. This fight was due to take place on April 25th this year and is finally being rescheduled. So light heavyweights, you know, Kovalev's still there, Charlie. Still there, thereabouts, the ever-aging Kovalev. Let's see how he fares against Sullivan Barrera.
Yeah, what's he got left, Mark? What has he got left? You know, the Anthony Yard fight would have taken a hell of a lot out of him. Obviously, Canelo would have enhanced, you know, his wallet. He would have earned a hell of a lot of money for that fight. Does he have the desire? You know, what is he? He's got to be 36, maybe, is he, Mark?
Yeah, correct. He is, yeah, 36.
So how much? What has he got left? You know, he's been world champion. He's earned millions of dollars. I mean, what is left in the tank, really, to prove? Maybe it's a farewell fight, but I thought the fight in Russia was his kind of, his, you know, his, not his last fight, but certainly his last hooray. And obviously Canelo was just a money ticket. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. And to be honest, I've got no real interest there, because I think his career is more or less done.
If that is his last fight, I would have preferred to have seen someone like Bivol get in there with him, or even Callum Johnson, really. You know, that... Don't get me wrong, it's a fight, he's, as we said, the ever-aging Kovalev, and if it is his last fight, then hats off to him, he's had a great career. I think we're going to take a bit of a break now, and time for some music. This was picked by our guest this week, and we're going to play you Mark Knight and Rene Amrez, and this is All For Love. Enjoy this one, we'll catch you soon.
I see you dancing.
welcome back to part two of the show, guys. As I said, we're joined on this week's show. Fascinating story, this one. We're joined by Grant Skill. He's a former professional boxer, and he is now the proud owner of the Hackney Kitchen right here in Billericay. Grant, how are you, my friend? And welcome to On The Ropes.
Oh, how are you doing, Mark? You all right?
Very well, mate. Very well. As I said,
thank you for having us on.
No problem at all, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. Grant, before we move into bagels and pie mash, I just wanted to take it right back, just for our listeners, really. As not many people probably are aware that, you know, you're a local businessman, but you are a former professional boxer. I mean, you were a decent amateur by all accounts, and where did it all start for you?
Just going back really to school. Like many boys in Hackney, getting a little bit of trouble at school. My dad thought to channel that sort of behaviour, took me down to St George's in Stepney. And literally, as soon as I walked in that gym, I just fell in love with boxing. The smell, it was like a proper, like, rural gym. No frills to it. And I just fell in love with boxing. Going through everything, you know, like you start off, you sparring and having like your little like club shows, and my coach, he never had a national champion, and I just thought, like, I want to be your first national champion. So for me, at such a young age, everything was directed at that, and I won my first national title, and I just went on and just kept on winning them.
Hello, Grant. It's Charlie, Mark's brother and his sidekick here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. I'm okay, thank you. So, obviously, from the amateurs, you then turned pro. And you were trained by Tunde Ajayi, so a lot of our listeners will know he now trains Anthony Yard. You know, firstly, what was that like and how did that come about? I believe you were under Frank Warren at the time as well?
Yeah, so... like in the amateurs, me and Kevin Mitchell become very close friends. We was really the two from like our part of London that was going through everything and like winning everything, but we wasn't just winning it, we was stopping everyone winning it. And so Kevin turned pro, and if I'm honest, a lot of it was I wanted to train with Kevin. He was, you know, everyone knows what class Kevin Mitchell is. And I wanted to be, I've always wanted to be in the gym with the best. He was also training Akash Bhatti and Nathan Wise. And I just thought it was a good mix. Tunde was at the time a breath of fresh air. I like new things. And that's what drove me towards Tunde, it was. And then, you know, certain things that partners don't always see eye to eye with. And so for my last fight, me and Tunde broke partnership, and I went over with Paul Cook.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask, Grant, because, I mean, you turned over, you were a welterweight, you had those 8 fights unbeaten, and what seemed like over a short period of time, really. I mean, you were in the pro game for a couple of years, I believe. When you switched over to Paul Cook, was it, you know, you say partnerships don't always, you know, they tend to come to an end. Was it something that, did you fall out of love with the game? Or, I mean, what took you in a different direction from professional boxing?
What it was is I was asking for the fights. I wanted to be in, like, as an amateur... Like, I was in, like, world class. I boxed in, like, the world championships, the European championships. I boxed out in Vegas twice. I beat the American national champion out there. I wanted to build up to get to that level as quick as I could. And I think because of I was selling a lot of tickets, I just think the sports network was happy for me to fight a certain level of opponent. And always be guaranteed to get that win. But I wanted to be in hard fight. I kept on asking for them. They didn't give me them. And in the end, I just fell out of love with it. Like, how can you keep on pushing yourself and pushing yourself out on the road and in the gyms every day. And, you know, like, you're training twice a day. So what I would always perceive to be fighting a punch bag, you know, someone who's turning up for the pay. And I wanted to fast track my career a lot quicker than what they was pushing it out of. And I think that had a dramatic effect on me falling out of love with boxing. My last pro fight, I woke up the morning after and I just thought, you know what, I thought I've had enough of this. You know, all the dedication you put in, all the hours, all the tiredness, the injuries, you know, broken hands, like, I've got metal plates in my hands. And for what? For not boxing at the level what what you're not capable of, but what they won't let you box at just because you're selling so many tickets. That's just how I got to see it.
I mean, it must be soul-destroying. Certainly, the game has changed rapidly. When you think now, if you were a boxer now, Grant, ten, you know, put yourself now as a mid-20-year-old, someone like Conor Benn, who was in your weight class, yeah, you know, welterweight, you look at him, he's all over social media now, not necessarily even has to sell a ticket. I mean, if you were in today's game, where would you like or where would you envisage yourself to be?
Listen, obviously, anyone who's in a position of Conor Benn would be really happy with where they are. But then, backlash to that, the guys who ain't so much high profile, their money's dropped dramatically in boxing. It has. And them guys, they have to sell tickets. Them guys, they're getting given contracts where they have to sell so many tickets just to get paid. So I don't want to sound like I'm biting the hand that's feeding me, because Frank Warren paid me very well and I was very happy with the money that I was getting. And I was also very lucky in the fact that I didn't have to sell my tickets personally. My good dad, he would go out and he'd sell all the tickets for me. So I never had that stress. I could just get on with my training. But, you know, someone like Conor Benn, he's obviously got that following from his dad, and, you know, he's definitely living up to that family name. He is, and that's why you can sell them tickets on social media.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the welterweight division at the moment, Grant, obviously you've got the likes of Conor Benn. We'll be discussing Conor Benn a little bit later in the show, but the welterweight division at the moment, you've got the likes of Jenkins, Ben, Josh Kelly, all these young guys coming through. Kelly's the more, you know, guy with the amateur pedigree, so to speak. It's a red hot division here in the UK, and me and Charlie were discussing this in the car over tonight. I know you're I'd like to think a big boxing fan still now, and yeah, within that welterweight division, you know, the likes of Conor Benn and Josh Kelly should be taking over the mantle from someone like Amir Khan and Kell Brook now, and let these younger guys flourish.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I think Conor Benn's very exciting to fight. He's shown a little bit of vulnerability, and, you know, listen, that's what turns people on. That's why people love watching boxing. They love watching someone who can be vulnerable, and they love someone who can just knock someone out at the blink of an eye. And I think that that's definitely what Conor Benn's got, and that's why Amir Khan was so popular. He's got an art of a lion, and he can punch. I really like Conor Benn. I'm a very big fan of Josh Kelly. I think he's the real deal, and I think we've got a lot of excitement to watching Josh Kelly. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's a real talent. Grant, I mean, do you miss the boxing game now? I mean, obviously you grew up in the East End, not too far from where me and Charlie grew up. You know, have you got aspirations one day to get back involved? Maybe a little bit of coaching? It sounds like we missed you by a few years down at the Lion Boys Club, because I know, you know, Georgie Hilliard quite, you know, really, really well. Have you got aspirations to get back into the game somewhere down the line?
Yeah, I would like to. You know, I actually went back and I was coaching down the Lion. And that's how I know Stan so well. Stan, obviously, you know, he was the heart and soul of the Lion and head coach down there. But there was another coach down there, Stevie Waters, who I worked with down Smithfield Meat Market, and he kind of encouraged me to go down there and help the boys out. But the thing is at that time I wasn't given where, you know, like people have, I had other things going on, and I couldn't give the boys that 100% dedication that what they deserved. So I just thought it was right that I dropped out of the gym, and that was the short-lived training. My very close friend Mark Collins, who he trains, he's a coach at the Limehouse Boxing Club. He keeps on trying to get me back into the coaching, and that is definitely something I'd love to go back into. I'd love it if my little boy or my little girl, if they grew up and they wanted to get into the boxing, I'd definitely be 100% all the way behind them. And I think at that point, that would definitely make me want to get back into the coaching and give that back to what I got from it.
Fantastic stuff, fantastic. So obviously since, you know, that you said that day you woke up and you thought, you know what, I can't be dealing with this anymore. You've taken it now. You've got your own business. You've dabbled with a couple of things. I mean, how difficult is it for someone to literally just wake up one day, you know, a professional sportsman or sportswoman, and just say, you know what, I'm done with it, and then try and, it's like you when you leave school, you're literally rebuilding your life, aren't you? I mean, how difficult was that? And obviously now you've got your own business, which we're gonna talk about, but, you know, how difficult, that's my question, how difficult is it literally one day from going from sports star to not nobody, but having to start again, if you know what I mean?
Do you know, I don't think I found it too difficult, because I knew it was the right decision. And I just thought, you're not putting 100% in, you're getting disheartened, you are disheartened with the sport. And I just thought, listen, I don't want to end up losing to someone who's not as good as me, but they've put more into their training than me. And I just thought that would have been a terrible shame and a major mistake for myself, knowing that my art wasn't in it 100%, and I got beat to someone who wasn't as good as me. So for that, I've never regretted the decision. I love boxing. I love sitting, watching boxing. I'm very lucky. My Mrs. Lauren, she loves watching boxing. So, you know, we're happy at home just watching the boxing. So I've never regretted it. And if, you know, and that's exactly how it is with me. I don't regret the decision, because I know it was the right decision at the time.
And Grant, that decision you made, you've gone on, you did your knowledge to become a taxi driver, and now, you know, you've started the Hackney Kitchen down in Billericay. I've been down there a couple of times myself. Fantastic food, love the bagels, you know, nearly as good as Brick Lane's. They are on par. I mean, I must admit they are. I've not had the pie and mash yet, but I will do. I mean, you're at the railway in Billericay, right next to the station. I mean, it sounds like it's going amazingly well for you.
Honestly, with the pandemic, it's killed the cab trade, unfortunately, it has. And, you know, we've only got so much money in the bank. And I just, you know, me and Lauren was talking about everything. I've always wanted to be involved in food. Like I said, I worked down Smithfield Meat Market. I was down there for 10 years. I love food. I love going out. I love dining. I love good food. And, you know, like, I know this ain't Michelin star food we're knocking at, but it's good food. It is. And I just think, you know, so we just thought, hey, we knew that there was going to be another lockdown coming. The cab trade ain't doing that well. So we just thought, you know, rather than keep on talking, let's start walking with it. And, you know, but the thing is I just think why it's done so well is, yeah, I like to think that the food is good. You know, we love doing what we're doing. We love cooking. But it's also like, you know, it's a tribute to the community of Billericay, where they've got behind their small local businesses. And you can tell what people love supporting their local businesses. And for that, like, we're very, very thankful. We are. It's, it's definitely not the easiest job we've done. It ain't, you know. Like my Lauren, she cooks pretty much all day. She does, and I'm on the car. I get up at 4:30. I go do my brick lane run every morning. Lauren will get up. She gets the kids ready. If in the school and comes back and she's cooking all day. It's hard, but the rewards what we're getting back from it has been unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm glad that you've been down there yourself and that you've enjoyed the food. You've just got to get down there now and have the pie and mash.
Absolutely. Well, it just shows you, doesn't it? It's good hearty food, like you said, which is what we need. We like, you know, what we're all going through, and it's good East End grub, honest grub. And, you know, a lot of Essex people, they're all, you know, either from the East End or their parents or grandparents are from the East End. And, you know, just having that on your doorstep, a bit of pie and mash or a bagel, superb.
Exactly. You know, this is one of the reasons why I set it up. I feel like it was something that was missing from our area. I do. Like that good heart food. Of the East End, there's so many people who have moved out to places like Billericay from the East End. You know, like, you know, it's the people from South, they always go to Kent, and people from the East, they always go to Essex. So bringing something to them where they haven't got to travel the 30 miles into London, you know, it accommodates for them. And I'm so lucky enough that it's made a business for me, and it's been able to keep my family's head above water. It has, you know, but it's definitely a hardship. It is out there. You know, like I've got my sister helping me all the time. I've got my mother helping me. My dad, bless him, he gets up on Saturday and Sunday, and he'll do the brick lane run for me. So it's a very joint partnership what we've got going on, and I think the partnership that we have with the community now, I think is, you know, it's been outstanding for us.
And Grant, it sounds like it's getting more and more popular. You've got this deal now with the Railway Tavern in Billericay. Just for our listeners that haven't tried the food, you know, when are you open, where are you open, and how do they come and try your grub?
Okay, so at the moment, Monday to Friday, we are down Radford Crescent, directly outside the Pure Gym. This weekend was a new thing that we're doing with Lance and Sue from the Railway. So we said that let's trial it for the weekend, see how everything gets on. It's a little bit hard at the minute where the pub ain't open, so they can't actually see the benefits that their customers and their side of the business is going to get. But we can see how things are going to start going, and hopefully that will be a permanent fixture. It will be in there 7 days a week. So at the moment, we are at Redford Crescent outside the Pure Gym, Monday to Friday from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and we are Saturday to Sunday in the Railway from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And hopefully, you know, move on, be good for us, be good for the Railway, and we'll hopefully be a permanent fixture in there.
Well, it sounds good, Grant. Well, and if anyone wants to have a look up on socials or anything like that, have a look at what you're doing, how do they follow, where do they get you at?
They can just follow us on the Hackney Kitchen on Instagram or on Facebook. So far we've been having a great response. And, you know, we always welcome new followers and definitely welcome new customers.
Excellent, Grant. Well, look, we thank you for your time. We really wish the business success, which it sounds like it is. You know, it's heading that way. And I'm sure, you know, with your fighting spirit, you ain't going to give up on it. You're going to be there to the end, and I'm sure it will be a success. So from On The Ropes, from Phoenix 98 FM this evening, you know, thank you for joining us, and best of luck.
All the best. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Grant. Take care, mate. I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, mate. Charlie, great business. You know, it's great to see, you know, former sportsmen like Grant, you know, a young lad, young family, and they're all pulling together. I mean, former professional boxer, big decision in life to make when he turned his back on the game, and it sounds like for the right reasons. Very talented amateur, you know, from an area where we grew up. You know, fantastic to see. And I just sort of stumbled across the Hackney Kitchen and got talking to Grant, and, you know, best of luck to him.
Well, I'm sure the minute you saw the menu, the old salt beef bagel, you were in there knowing you. So, yeah, trying to strike a deal, no doubt. But, yeah, fantastic, Mark. And, you know, I'm just intrigued to hear stories like that. You know, it's not that long ago he was a pro boxer. You know, what, mid-2000s, was it 2008, something like that, he was a pro boxer. You know, even then, you know, the emphasis was on about selling tickets. You know, and then, like, you know, fast forward to today's game, you know, someone like Grant, who would have been, you know, a brilliant amateur, you know, how would he fit in today's sport if he was just turning pro today with those 8 fights? I'm telling you now, he'd probably be elevated up to the levels of people like Conor Benn. So it's just a real shame that, you know, that time, boxing, although it did have a platform, there's a multitude of platforms now for boxers, especially with a great amateur pedigree as well. So, but, you know, like you said, he's moved on. He's got his life together, clearly. He's trying different things. And, Mark, it must come from that boxing background where he's willing to risk it, right? And he's doing that now, you know, in the pandemic. He's taking on a business. He's putting the whole family together. Fantastic story. And, you know, listeners, if you want fancy a bagel or fancy a bit of pie and mash, get down there.
Yeah, from boxing to bagels. Lovely story. Right, time for music. Now we're going to leave you with Tate McRae. You Broke Me First. We'll catch you soon.
Maybe you don't like talking too much about yourself, but you should have told me that you were thinking about someone else. You're drunk at a party, or maybe it's just that your car broke down. Your phone's been off for a couple months, you're calling me now. I know you like this. When shit don't go your way, you're needing me to fix it. And like me, I did. But I've been out of every reason. Now suddenly you're asking for it back. Could you tell me where'd you get the nerve? Yeah, you could say you miss all that we had. But I don't really care how bad it hurts when you broke me first. Quicker than I could've ever, you know that hurt. Swear for a while I was there, my phone just to see your name. But now that it's there, I don't really know what to say. I know you like this. When shit don't go your way, you needed me to fix it. And like me, I did. But I've been out of every reason. Now suddenly you're asking for it back. Yeah, you could say you miss all that we had. But I don't really care how bad it hurts when you broke me first. You broke me first. What did you think would happen? What did you think would happen? I'll never let you have it. What did you think would happen?
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Welcome back, guys. Part 3 of the show. Charlie, I want to draw our attention now to this weekend's action. Obviously, we touched on Conor Benn. He was back in action last night at Wembley SSE. The Matchroom residency now. We discussed this last week, and obviously in the car on the way here tonight, that Benn, for me, really came of age last night. We felt that he was there to take the mantle from Khan and Brooke. I think he's ready to do that now. I mean, he completely outclassed Sebastian Formella, who had that one defeat to Sean Porter. You know, the benefit really of Tony Sims, I would say, because I think Sims is doing a fantastic job with him. You know, he's taken him from a raw novice with no amateur background. Yes, he is Nigel Benn's son. And yes, that legacy lives on. I mean, we got to witness those vast improvements last night from Conor Benn. He's now 17-0, the welterweight. 11 of those wins coming by KO. And he's still only 24 years old.
Yeah, hats off to him, Mark. You know, I think he's still a little bit, I don't know, I don't want to take too much away from the performance, but he's still a little bit open for me. And Formella certainly wasn't a big hitter. Formella arrived to survive, basically. And I said that to you early doors, didn't I? That's, you said to me, like, Ben was going to do him inside five. I went, no, this is going the distance. Because Formella, he knows how to survive. He'd done so against Sean Porter. And Sean Porter was a bit like Conor Benn. He was all over him, you know. Wouldn't he just smothered his work a lot of the time. But yeah, I don't know. Benn at times, he's a little bit open for me. But there's no doubt about it. He's tenacious. He's got the grit. He's got the heart, the desire. And, you know, even last night he was saying, you know, yeah, people said, you know, I sleep in silk pyjamas. Yeah, maybe I do. But, you know, I tell you what, when I'm in the gym, I work harder than anyone else. You can't knock the guy for that. You really can't. And I think, obviously, he's settled down now. He's been away from his family for a number of years. I think it's 4 or 5 years. He's now, obviously, he's got married. He's got a baby on the way. So I think things like that in your life, it settles you down and it gives you an additional emphasis to crack on and push on. And I think that's exactly what he's doing. 17-0, you're right. He came through that test. He is still a bit, like I said, open at times. But I think you're right with Tony Sims. He'll work on that and he'll improve. And it's an interesting one to see where he goes in terms of how the story unfolds. You know, he wants to be a world champion. He wants to be like his father. I get that. Can he get there? Time will tell. You know, he's calling out Josh Kelly. That won't be no easy feat. And there's other people in the division. You know, Chris Congo, Chris Jenkins. You know, he reckons they've had their opportunity. Well, you know, we've had Chris Jenkins on the show and, you know, I don't think Chris Jenkins has even, they've even approached him, but I could be wrong.
The Congo was watching last night, as too was obviously Nigel Benn, his father. You made a point about Conor Benn being particularly open. What I would say about that is very similar to his father, now Conor Benn the Destroyer. He likes to hit to be hit, in the same way that Nigel Benn did, right? They would walk through punches. And Conor Benn's no different. So he's the son of Nigel. And he fights like Nigel. You know, his style is very, very similar. And yes, he probably is one of the hardest working professionals down at that Matchroom gym at the moment because he knows that he's had no amateur pedigree and he knows that he doesn't want to get hurt for a young man. So that's why he's putting those hours in the gym. And I think Tony Sims is doing a remarkable job with Conor Benn. Eye-catching one-punch knockout last night also from former guest of the show and friend of the show, I should say, Fabio Wardley, the Ipswich lad. He flattened Richard Larty. He now goes to or moves to 10-0 with 9 of those wins by KO. I mean, he will be watching Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce very, very closely next weekend. Now, Wardley, Charlie, has to be a prospect. I mean, let's drop this white-collar tag even on Sky Sports. They said, let's drop that because not many people have been talking about this kid. And he's another kid that works tirelessly in the gym. Fantastic prospects.
Absolutely, Mark. I couldn't agree more. And he will get his opportunity for the British title, but not before long, because I think after Dubois and Joe Joyce next Saturday, I think if Dubois comes through that, he moves on, he vacates, and then someone like Fabio Wardley will be in contention for a British title. I think stepping up next, someone like John Gorman, who win in Malarte and, you know, win the distance. And obviously, Wardley just blew Larte away. So that would be a good matchup for me, someone like a John Gorman. And then he's on to the British title, you know. Imagine that, a kid from nowhere, really. Nowhere. No amateur experience. Yes, like you said, he had a couple of white collars. And then all of a sudden, he's now the English champion. And a couple of more fights, he could be a British champion. Could be a fantastic story. But credit where credit's due. You know, he took a couple of slaps last night and he come back and, you know, people were saying it was a dubious decision. He caught him on the temple. He flattened him. Job done.
And he took it. He got him out of there quicker than Daniel Dubois did. I think it took Dubois 4 rounds, didn't it?
Yeah, three or four, yeah.
Yeah, so he got him out of there in 2. So, yeah, credit where credit's due. He is a real prospect now, Fabio Wardley. And I think, you know, certainly the Ipswich public will start to sit up now and recognise that Wardley, you know, is a real talent. Also in action last night, Alan Savage Babich back in action. Now, he steamrolled Tom Little in three rounds. Now, Babbage's his style, Charlie, can be exciting. But, I mean, can he carry on fighting like that? I mean, he was just throwing humdingers from all over the place.
I know.
I mean, he's got no defence. You know, punches from all over the place.
Yeah, he was, I mean, another, you know, wide open, Mark. Wide, like haymakers, right? You know, windmills he was throwing. But it's exciting to watch. It's exciting. And he's got the heart of a lion. He'll fight, you know, he'll fight 24 rounds if he had to, no bother. But yeah, Tom Little, again, another one who disappointed me, Mark. All week he was saying he was in the best shape of his life. You know, and he'd let himself down in Saudi Arabia on the AJ bill. You know, it was his time, blah, 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 blah. And again, round three, he just looked all over the place. And you could, I don't know if it was it was some clean punches going in, but he just looked like he rolled over.
Yeah, no, it was just domestic. I mean, I think that was his, what, fifth straight defeat now, Tom Little? So, he's just...
Where does he go?
Where does he go from here?
I mean, you could, maybe Fabio Wardley could have a little warm-up with him for the British title, but what's that going to prove? You know, Wardley, he would have been, they've been in around each other. I think he's been sparring with him and stuff like that. I mean, where does Tom Little go next, you know? There's not even a Dave Allen out there anymore, is there? So I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's the end of the road for him.
I think it could be. Jez Smith, Charlie, back in action. I mean, what a performance from him last night on the undercard.
Yeah, Ben Ridings.
He beat young Ben Ridings. I mean, we actually touched on this briefly last night, actually. The matchmaking for this fight from Eddie Hearn. Completely wrong. Completely wrong. I mean, completely wrong. I just couldn't understand it.
Well, you could say it was bad matchmaking, Mark, or, you know, Ben Ridings was supposed to be the ultimate boxer, wasn't he, a couple of weeks ago. So obviously he pulled out of that. He hadn't fought in something like 18 months, that Ben Riding. But clearly he'd been in the gym because he was, you know, he was due for that ultimate boxer. Jez Smith had been out recently against the middleweight Frank Warren, the kid
the
from
Belfast. Lad, yeah.
Black Thunder, what's his name? He's gone.
Keegan.
Keegan,
yeah, I can't remember.
He's gone anyway, but Keegan,
Keegan Ayako.
Ayako, yeah. That's him, only a couple of weeks back. But he's obviously from good stock, you know, Jez Smith. He's the brother of Mitchell Smith, who was, again, a good fighter under Frank Warren. You could see he was a slick operator, much the quicker boxer in terms of hand speed. More agility around the ring. You know, Ben Ridings really weren't moving his head much. And yeah, it was a mismatch. It really was.
Yeah, but I think Eddie Hearn didn't pay him any respect, Jez Smith, because he'd just been in the gym for 5 days. So he'd only just come back to training. He thought, well, that'd be an easy fight for Ridings. But Smith won every single round last night. And hats off to him. He gets another chance. So, you know, credit where credit's due again. You know, congratulations to Jez Smith.
Yeah, but he did say, you know, he'll fight anyone, Mark. He's out of shape. As you said, 4 days' notice. You could see that's not his natural weight. And he said he'll drop down a couple of divisions and he'll fight anyone. Fantastic. I hope he gets another chance, Mark, because it's great stories to see, you know, guys like this. They're a little bit out of the wilderness. You know, they're not in that bubble, on that platform, on that network. And all of a sudden, they rock up and they surprise a few people. So hopefully he gets another couple of fights on good platforms.
Right, let's see how you are on the back foot. Get ready for this one.
Quote of the week. Live in accordance with your outside world and you'll soon find misery. Live in accordance with your inside world and you'll soon find happiness.
Fights to look out for next week, Charlie. Obviously, we've got the Jacobs versus Rosado fight coming up Friday night, and next Saturday it's the biggie on BT Sport. This is no longer a pay-per-view fight, people. Get it on your screens. BT Sport 1, Daniel Dubois versus Joe Joyce. Cannot wait.
Mark, I can't wait for that one. You know what? A lot of people are saying Dubois. I've always been a fan of Joe Joyce, and I just think that he's going to... I can see an upset on the cards. I really can.
I'll take Daniel Dubois all day long. Right, Daniel Dubois 15-0. Joe Joyce is 11-0. Great to see the pair of them fighting each other at this stage of their career. As I said, it is on BT Sport 1. Jack Catterall will be on the undercard, as too will local lad Hamza Shiraz be on there. Jack Massey and David Adeyi, the heavyweight. So yeah, great undercard there to look out for as well, and some real up-and-coming talent. And obviously that exhibition match, Charlie, next week is back. That'll be 4 a.m. ring walk, estimated time. Mike Tyson is back versus Roy Jones Jr., their exhibition match.
Unbelievable. He's back. I mean, it is laughable, really, you know, the age of these guys. And
Iron Mike.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to stay up, Mike, honestly. I really don't. I'll catch you on YouTube. But are you staying up for it?
I won't stay up for it, no, but I'll record it. We got the we got the pleasure of meeting Mike Tyson. We've told that story before, haven't we, down at Lion Boys in 1987. He was on the Wogan show and he came down to the gym afterwards and gave us all our trophies. Remarkable night, that one. One that I'll hold very, very dearly for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, I was there as well, but I couldn't get to the front. There were so many kids, you know. And anyway, there you go. Yeah, we got the picture at home somewhere. Just need to dig that one out. But there you go. So could you ever imagine that, you know, 33 years later, Iron Mike Tyson was stepping back in the ring?
Remarkable, really remarkable. He does look in good shape, as does Roy Jones Jr. Obviously, Chris Eubank Jr. now is with Roy Jones Jr. He's training him. We discovered that recently. The news broke last week. So, yeah, interesting times. I'm not so sure that I will be tuning in live. As I just said, I'll probably catch it. I'll probably record it and catch it Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I will do too, because you know, sleep is precious.
Absolutely. Well, I hope everyone's keeping healthy, wealthy and well. Thank you, as always, for joining in every Sunday night, 8 p.m, Phoenix 98 FM, on The Ropes.
Absolutely, guys. And don't forget, you can get us on the socials, Twitter, on The Ropes FM 1, Instagram, on The Ropes FM. We've also got a group on Facebook, on The Ropes. You can listen to tonight's show or any previous show. We've had some cracking guests over, you know, over the last couple of years. Just go to www.phoenixfm.com, go to programs, scroll down to On The Ropes. You'll see all our previous shows in there. You can download it, listen at your leisure. And we're here every Sunday, 8 p.m, giving you all the latest news and reviews from the world of boxing.
Guys, as always, have a knockout week. We're going to leave you with this one for tomorrow morning, really. Boomtown Rats, Tell Me Why I Don't Like Mondays.
And remember, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Take care, guys.
Catch you next week. Yeah.
stopped in the playground now. She wants to play with the toys a while. And school's out early, and soon we'll be learning. And the lesson today is how to die. And then the bullhorn crackles, and the captain tackles with the problems of the housewife. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to die? Die, oh, oh. And the silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. Oh, and nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. Why reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why.
FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.